So last week, if you were here, we participated in the burning bowl ceremony, where we gave up to the fire any of those attitudes or beliefs or habits that we might be self-erecting as barriers to our greater good. And then near the end of that ceremony, we did a little visualization about what would our lives be like without those barriers. How would it change our behaviors and our thoughts and our relationships? And today, we're going to continue by another ritual, another really ancient and powerful ritual that is often done in unity following the burning bowl, and that is the ritual of the white stone ceremony. So we're going to begin by looking at a quote by Kelly Eisel, and I think that's not quite as good as it could be in terms of clarity, so I'll read it to you. She says, "Recognize you are a sparkling present from the cosmos, and it is time to unwrap yourself in order to share your magnificence with the world." So today's ritual gives us that opportunity to explore that mystic pull to our magnificence as we ask ourselves and our God, "What am I called to be in this coming year? As I release old, unproductive thinking and habits, what fills the space?" Because we released last week, and that leaves a void, and we have to fill that space with something else. So our question today is, what is my new identity? What is my new name? Now, this ceremony, as many of you know, is based on Revelation 2:17. "To anyone who has an ear, listen to what Spirit is saying. To everyone who conquers," some translations say overcomes, "to anyone who conquers or overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone. And on that white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it." Now, before we look more specifically at the meaning of this verse, it's important to put the entire book of Revelation into context. Full of obscure, frightening imagery, bizarre creatures and events, it does not make for good bedtime reading. As a matter of fact, it might make for good bedtime nightmares. We are talking about rivers of blood, plagues of locusts, a giant red dragon, a beast with seven heads, just to name a few. So obviously, Revelation is not about literal events, past or future. Actually, the Greek word for the root of the word revelation means unveiling. So metaphysically, the events in this allegory represent states of consciousness, and the major theme is about unveiling our own Christ identity. Now, this particular verse that we just looked at has two actions and three promises. So I'd like you to hold these in mind before you get your white stone. First of all, the first action is listening. And the text said, anyone who listens, anyone who has an ear, and that ear does not refer to the physical ear. It symbolizes the ear of the soul, the ear that listens and hears the still small voice that whispers within. And then the text says, listen to what Spirit is saying. And of course, we do this, not in our heads, do we? We do it by getting out of our heads, out of our intellect, going into our heart space through prayer and meditation. When we quiet our busy minds and listen to the divine voice of wisdom, we open our hearts to that deep, intuitive knowing. And that's what this ceremony is all about. And the second step, the second action, is surrender. To everyone who overcomes is not about an outer war or conflict, but it's about an inner struggle that really requires our surrender to Spirit. Jesus said, we are in the world, but not of the world. When we follow that still, small voice, when we recognize our inner spiritual qualities, much will be gained. In surrendering our personal will to divine will, there is victory. It's the victory of birthing the essential self, just as Jesus taught and demonstrated. This is an inner struggle and an inner victory of letting go and letting God be God in us and through us. And then we have three promises. And the first promise is about hidden manna. Now, literally, I think we all know, manna means food. In the days of wandering in the wilderness, the Hebrew people who had just escaped from Egypt received manna from God each day. They weren't required to work for it. They didn't in any way earn it. All they had to do was show up and claim it. But notice our verse doesn't just say manna. It says hidden manna, manna not visible in the outer world. When we are in the wilderness of our own spiritual seeking, we receive hidden manna. When we come to realize the power of our indwelling Christ, then the promise is fulfilled and we are spiritually fed from an entirely new source of energy. The hidden manna is derived from the higher levels of being within us, and it nourishes our whole being. Jesus told his disciples in John 4:32, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." This inner or spiritual food is the understanding of truth about our true Christ self. And the second promise is, I will give you a white stone. A white stone. Now, the stone has an interesting history. In Jesus' day, when someone served time in prison, they were given a white stone as they were released, symbolizing their new freedom. Released prisoners actually carried their white stones around with them, just as a symbol or a proof, you might say, to anyone they met that they had completed their obligations, overcome their errors, and their slates were clean. And each of us, don't we all, come from our own bondage of past nonsense, false limitations that we've placed on spirit and self, old beliefs, error thinking that all have imprisoned us. And so the white stone represents our release from bondage, a sense of freedom and worthiness. It is our new identity. And it's a reminder that we are beloved of God, one with the divine, free and unlimited. And so the third promise is, and I will give you a new name. Now in the Bible, we've talked about this before, we read of many, many name changes. To the ancient Hebrews, a name was a very sacred thing, and every name represented a quality. Parents chose names for their children. Not here, you're not here? Am I coming through? No? I'm hearing yes and no. Say it again. Pull these in. Okay. Is that better? Okay. Thank you for letting me know. You can't tell from up here if you're coming through or not. Okay. Parents chose names for their children based on whatever essence they saw in the child. And throughout the Bible, name changes always signify a positive change of character. In Isaiah 62:2, we read, "Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall bestow." And one of the best-known examples, and there are many in both the Old and New Testament, but one of the best-known examples is when Saul becomes Paul. The word Saul means personal will. And Saul was struck blind, we remember, and brought to his knees on the road to Damascus. And after that, he went from persecuting the Christians to spreading the word. Eventually, he became known as Paul, which means enlightened will. Biblical names change. Biblical name changes always signify rising to higher consciousness, to the freedom of spiritual awareness, to the understanding of our spiritual purpose. And in the words of Bible scholar Ed Townley, we need to know two important things as we embark upon the challenges of our spiritual purpose. First, the power and presence of God will sustain and nourish us, just as it nourished the Israelites in their collective wilderness experience. And secondly, no matter how dark the shadows may seem, or how far we seem to have wandered from our spiritual path, we are always closely and intimately linked to our spiritual source. That is the meaning of the white stone with the secret name. It is like a spiritual identity card, affirming our oneness with God. And the new name you receive today to be written on a white stone is about no less. So if the ushers and prayer chaplains will please pass out the white stones now. And when you get your little baggie, go ahead and open it and take out both the stone and the white card. I'll wait till everybody has theirs. And if we could take care of the guys upstairs when somebody gets a chance, take two up to them. Dave's at the back. Mary, would you give two to Dave at the back? Would you give two today? We got it. We're good. Okay, raise your hand if you did not receive one. Are we good? I appreciate that no one argued over colors of the markers. That was very good. I'm very impressed. Or maybe I didn't see it. Okay. So if you've already opened your little baggie, you have the card, and you know that your white stone comes from Jerusalem. On the back of the little card, you will see a map showing the exact location to be near Hebron and Bethlehem. And as you hold the white stone in your hand, know the color white represents joy, victory, and a purified sense of consciousness, an awakening to the inner spirit, the freedom that comes from knowing the Father and I are one. And remember, when asked his name, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And in this higher white stone consciousness, you will learn your new name in a moment in meditation. And it will be an entirely new realization of your full potential, your true I am. And so you will be writing, when the word comes to you, a new name or a quality about your own character, what you have come here to be. In the words of the authors of the beautiful book, Who Have I Come Here to Be? They say, and actually in the preface, we live in a world of infinite potential where every possibility exists at once until the moment we decide. You only need to listen. There's that listening action again. You only need to listen, to tune in to what your intuitive sense tells you is true, to connect with divine wholeness, the infinite potential within. So what have you come here to be? Perhaps it's joy, peace, harmony, radiance, authenticity, self-worth, or wholeness. What you write on your stone is not about doing. It is not a goal or a resolution. We talked last week about how effective some of those are. This is about being. As Ellen Davenport said, I've never heard of anybody writing on his or her stone, clean out the garage. I'm pretty sure that what you've come here to be is far more significant than any of our earthly tasks, like cleaning out the garage. You are asking God to show you a word or phrase that will guide you to your full potential this year. And know that your inspiration, your answer, could come in a myriad of ways. It might seem to be a voice. It might be just a strong feeling, a sudden flash, a striking visual, or a deep inner knowing. The word you are guided to write might be a noun or a pronoun or an adjective. No grammar police here. Perhaps you'll be called to write one of the 12 powers: faith, strength, love, imagination, power, understanding, wisdom, will, order, release, zeal, or life. Your new name, the important thing to know, is not about anything you lack. It's a quality that you already have that you're being called to deepen and develop in order to be the light of the world. So let's prepare now for our time of meditation, during which you will listen for inspiration, and whenever it comes to you, feel free to write your name on your stone. Let's begin our prayer and meditation, as we always do, by affirming the power and presence of the divine. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.